In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 146, Sorrow for Sin. And the picture at the beginning of the lesson shows the prodigal son sitting downcast with the swine all around him. And the caption reads, Our Lord, speaking about the forgiveness of sins, told the parable of the prodigal son who took his inheritance from his father and wasted it in a far country. But a time came when the prodigal suffered hardship as a caretaker of swine. Then, feeling contrition for what he had done, he said to himself, How many hired men in my father's house have bread in abundance, while I am perishing here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired men. And he arose and went to his father. St. Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 20. First question, what is contrition? Contrition is sincere sorrow for having offended God and hatred for the sins we have committed with a firm purpose of sinning no more. Quote, The Lord is nigh unto them that are contrite of heart. Psalm 33:19. God will not forgive us any sin, whether mortal or venial, unless we have true contrition for it. Without true contrition, a thousand confessions will avail us nothing except to add to our sins. Unless there is sorrow for sin, there is no forgiveness. As examples of true contrition, we have Mary Magdalene, who fell at the feet of Jesus weeping, St. Peter, who wept bitterly for having denied our Lord, King David, who fasted and prayed, crying, Have mercy on me, O God, a contrite and humble heart thou wilt not despise. When is sorrow for sin true contrition? It is true contrition when it is interior, supernatural, supreme, and universal. Our sorrow is interior when it comes from our heart, not merely from our lips. One day a man bumped into an old woman carrying a basket full of vegetables. Her basket was knocked out of her hand, and the contents spilled on the street, rolling in all directions. The man curtly murmured, Sorry, and went his way, impatiently saying to himself, There ought to be a law against old women going out on the streets. Meanwhile, the old woman was left to pick up her vegetables as best she could. This man's sorrow was not interior, it was on his lips alone. Our sorrow is supernatural when, with the help of God's grace, it arises from motives which spring from faith and not merely from natural motives. If we are sorry for our sins because they offend God, who is so good and perfect, or because we fear his punishments or the loss of heaven, our contrition is supernatural. A thief was taken to court. He had been caught by reason of a watchdog in the house he had entered. The thief said to himself when he was sentenced to imprisonment, quote, I am sorry I ever entered that house. Next time I shall be more sure and steal only from those houses that do not keep dogs. This man's contrition was not supernatural, but natural. He was sorry only because he was caught and punished. Other natural motives are the loss of health, reputation, or goods. Our sorrow is supreme when we hate sin above every other evil and are willing to endure anything rather than offend God in the future by sin. A child said to the priest, "Father, I think I do not have enough contrition for my sins. When I offend my mother, I cry bitterly because I love her. But when I confess my sins, I do not cry at all." The priest asked, "Would you commit a sin only to please your mother whom you love so much?" Quickly the child replied, "Father, no. This child's contrition is supreme or sovereign. Sorrow for sin is not judged by the amount of tears we shed, but by the firmness of our will in resolving to make amends and avoid sin because it offends God." Our sorrow is universal when we are sorry for every mortal sin which we may have committed, which we may have had the misfortune to commit. If we have committed 5 mortal sins and are contrite for only 4, even if we confess all, not one is forgiven. A man is sorry that in attacking his enemy he had killed the wife, the servant, and the son also, but not that he had murdered his enemy himself. He gets no absolution for any one of the murders. Why should we have contrition for venial sin? We should have contrition for venial sin because it is displeasing to God, merits temporal punishment, and may lead to mortal sin. Venial sin is displeasing to God and keeps us out of heaven, however temporarily. If we really love God, we would avoid every sign of sin separating us from Him. The stains of venial sin may seem very slight to us indeed, but when they are laid against the purity of the infinite goodness, they become dark blotches. We can realize how God looks upon the slightest of venial sins when we remember how severely He punished His saints, as for instance Moses, for only a very slight sin of thought. By venial sin, we incur temporal punishment, which must be made up either here on earth or in the fires of purgatory. Even the slight loss of temper or discomfort arising from venial sin is not compensated for by any relief or pleasure we may obtain from it. And shall we incur the sufferings of purgatory and separation from God? Venial sin is a step to mortal sin. It causes carelessness with regard to sins and leads us into sloth with regard to good works. Having cooled in our zeal, we begin to neglect small faults and soon regard bigger ones with indifference. And so, being careless about venial sin, we fall into mortal sin by little and little. No man ever fell suddenly into vice. Vice is a habit of sin. Venial sin deprives us of many graces by which we might merit more help and love from God. When going to confession, and if we only have venial sins to confess, we must be sorry for at least one of them, or for some sin of our past which we confess. Otherwise, the confession is not valid. Why should we have contrition for mortal sin? We should have contrition for mortal sin because it is the greatest of all evils, gravely offends God, keeps us out of heaven, and condemns us forever to hell. Sin is the greatest of evils because its effects last longest, and it has the most dreadful results. Ill health, poverty, and other material evils last for only a time. At death, they will all be ended forever, and we shall have our release from them. But sin? The evils arising from mortal sin, aside from those that hound us in this life, will persecute us into eternity. What is an act of contrition? It is a prayer by which we express to God our sorrow for and detestation of sin. An act of contrition can be as short as this: O my God, I am sorry with all my heart for having offended thee, because thou art all good. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for my soul trusteth in thee. From Psalm 56, verse 2. An act of contrition is sufficient to forgive venial sins. We may therefore go to Holy Communion without confession if we have no mortal sin after saying such an act. However, it is better to go to confession at least every 2 weeks if we are frequent communicants and have only venial sins. Confession gives special graces not obtained through an act of contrition. That concludes our reading. Do we have any questions or comments?
For the short act of contrition, Your Excellency, I thought the act of contrition needed to have the contrition, but also the purpose of amendment.
For the generally, we want the purpose of amendment there as well, but the contrition, specifically contrition, is sorrow. So an act of contrition is expressing the sorrow. For the validity of the sacrament, there also has to be a purpose of amendment. So generally, the contrition that we have, act of contrition that we have the children memorize, even the adults to use, contains that purpose of amendment. I firmly resolve, with the help of God's grace, to confess my sins, to do my penance, and to amend my life. Amen. So we're really looking for that purpose of amendment. And I don't know if that will be coming later. There's so many of these chapters here on confession. Yeah, purpose of amendment comes on in lesson 148. So I don't want to anticipate that just yet. But contrition specifically is sorrow. And the act of contrition is basically saying, I'm sorry. So, I think this lesson was very interesting to point out that contrition has to be interior, supernatural, and supreme, and then universal. I don't think we often consider that. I see, you know, the child, the mother says, go tell your sister you're sorry for whatever it is you did, and the child, I'm sorry, and just like the man who knocked the vegetables out of the lady's hand, I'm sorry, and then just goes on. That is not interior sorrow, that's not true sorrow, it's just sounds coming from his lips that have really no meaning at all. Much like the Pharisees obeying the letter of the law, I was told to say I'm sorry, or this saying I'm sorry is the polite thing to do, or what is expected of me. So we just say the words, that is not enough. It's not enough on the natural level, dealing with our neighbors. I think most people can see through that hypocrisy, that falsehood of just saying I'm sorry as opposed to being sorry. But there are natural reasons why we can be sorry, because of my, you know, if I'm an alcoholic, of my drunkenness, I wasted money, I'm ruining my health. These are all natural motives of contrition. I'm sorry for this, or the thief, I'm sorry that I broke into a house that had a watchdog. That is truly sorry. I'm sorry. It's not just words and coming out of my mouth, but this is just a natural sorrow, and it is not supernatural. It's not based on faith or really even think bringing God into the picture at all. And of course, then to be supreme, that we don't want to commit a sin to please anyone, not even our mother, and that supreme sorrow, it is not necessary to shed tears. It is a spiritual or intellectual thing more than it is a natural. We should have contrition for all of our sins, but venial sins, because they merit a temporal punishment. And I think too often when we speak of eternity, people think of purgatory as eternity, but it is not really part of eternity. Purgatory is part of this life, part of time, because purgatory is only temporary, it's temporal. There is a time when purgatory will cease to exist, and those who go to purgatory are not there forever and ever. And so anyone who dies with the stain of venial sin on their soul that they have not amended for in this life will have to amend for that in purgatory, not in eternity. Mortal sins will be punished eternally. We do have quite a few more lessons on the sacrament of confession here. So I don't want to anticipate them. I was in one of the earlier lessons on confession. I began to speak of things that I thought should have been in the lesson, but I had not looked ahead to see that they would be covered subsequently. So if we have any what may be the special grace is not obtained through the act of contrition. The sacramental grace is not obtained through the simple act of contrition. So if I only have venial sins and make an act of contrition, I may receive the sacrament of Holy Communion or the other sacraments without going to confession. But that act of contrition does not give me the sacramental graces. If I'm a person who receives communion frequently or on a regular basis, the suggestion is that we go to confession every 2 weeks, whether we have a mortal sin or not, and then we can confess venial sins, and that act of contrition, we receive sacramental graces. And so that would be the distinction there. But without the sacrament, mortal sin is not going to be forgiven by the simple act of contrition. And then again, I have to put a caveat there. If you are in time of death, we need to strive to make that perfect act of contrition with the resolution to go to confession as soon as possible. And as you've probably heard me say before, God accepts the desire for the deed. And that perfect act of contrition is sufficient, even though it does not give sacramental graces at that time. There is still the requirement to go to confession and receive the sacramental absolution at the earliest convenience. So the act of contrition is, you might say, preparation. It is a good habit, you know, immediately after we realize that we have sinned, to simply make that act of contrition, especially if we've sinned mortally, to try to well up within ourselves that interior, supreme, universal and supernatural contrition for having sinned, and that firm purpose that we're going to confess it as soon as possible, we're going to make amends. And really, I think each and every day we come across some kind of cross, and it is an opportunity to make an offering of whatever cross, whatever difficulty we're encountering, in reparation for our sins, and thus perhaps spare ourselves some time in purgatory. Any questions or comments? And we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.